Okay, so as we discussed, Moshe Rabbeinu's role as the intermediary between Hashem and the Jewish people often leaves us with a sense of that there was just not really anything there, almost like transparent, which, as we discussed, actually reflected his greatness. But there was another element, and that's what we're going to talk about now. That's what is expressed in this pasuk, in Shemois Yud Tes, pasuk Gimel. Moshe, the Jewish people received the Torah from Hashem. That could have meant many things. Hashem was going to give the Jewish people the Torah because he had promised this to Avraham, because they had worked toward it in Mitzrayim, because they worked toward it in the days of the Sefira leading up to Matan Torah. And we just said three becauses. So what would have happened if there was the first but not the second, or the second but not the third? Or what if they would have worked a little less of during the Sefira days, or a little more? So we have to understand that the intensity of the revelation, the way the Torah would be settled in the people, could have also been to different degrees. It could have played out in different ways. Part of Moshe Rabbeinu's job was, part of his role was to have the Jewish people in a position that they could get it in the maximum, the greatest way possible. And this very much depended on them. Let's say, for example, you have the most quality seeds in existence, but you have lousy soil, so you're not going to get the full effect. You'll get very good product because these are the most quality seeds that exist. But if it's bad soil, you won't get the full effect. Let's say you have top quality soil. You're going to get a much better effect. But let's say you have top quality soil, but you didn't properly fertilize it. You're going to get a very, very good effect. But it's not the maximum. You could get even more if you would fertilize it. If you go through the effort of taking those top seeds and taking that top soil and fertilizing it and working it to the utmost and then planting them there and continuing to cultivate it in the most optimal conditions, you will get top quality. This was a big part of Moshe Rabbeinu's role. The Torah had to take root in the Jewish people. The Jewish people had to connect with Hashem. And part of Moshe's big role with the stakes of all of history, with stakes of the Jewish people's state for all of eternity, was to bring the Jewish people to be that soil in the most, in the optimal state, in the best state possible. This was a big, heavy load to place upon the shoulders of a single human being. To be the man responsible for the way that Torah would take root in the Jewish people at its inception. So we see this throughout the parasha in a number of different ways, but number one is here. When Moshe Olo El Elikim, as soon as the Jewish people arrive at Midbar Sinai, Moshe had already been told, back when Hashem contacted him in Mitzrayim, that you are going to, ultimately, the goal of this whole process of taking the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim is to get you to this mountain, to get you to Har Sinai, where they can connect with me. So Moshe, when he's coming with the Jewish people to Har Sinai now, to this very, very great destiny, he wanted to make sure that the way they would relate to the Shekhinah would be such that would enable them to connect in the best way. And therefore, as the representative of the Jewish people, as soon as they show up, he went headed straight up the mountain, straight up to show Hashem, we're here. You're not going to wait for us for a second. You're not going to wait for us for a second. We're here. Because once Hashem would be waiting a little bit for the Jewish people to get their act together and to show up, that's already compromising a little bit in the level of the enthusiasm and the level of the dedication. Perhaps by a percent, but Moshe didn't want that percent either. And therefore, Moshe immediately approaches the Har. He immediately approaches the Har. Vayikra Elav Hashem min ha-har leimor. And Hashem calls out to him, telling him, okay, we'll see what Hashem tells him. But whatever the case is, the Or HaChaim brings out that here we're already seeing this process beginning. Moshe goes up, Hashem immediately responds. The Sfarim make a big deal about the fact that already before Hashem actually, so to speak, appeared on Hasina. He's already there, right? We see that in this pasuk. Hashem is already there. Just he brought the revelation to its peak then. And what happened was that there was a give and take between Hashem and the Jewish people through Moshe for the days preceding. They arrived there at Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the days that we're in right now. They arrived there, and for those few days from the time they arrived until the Matan Torah actually happened, there was a back and forth between Hashem and the Jewish people going on from one day to the next. This was not just a coincidence, it wasn't just technicality. Conversing with Hashem, the give and take with Hashem, was something that was elevating them and elevating them and elevating them. And why did they get this benefit? Why did they get this benefit? Because Moshe knew to draw it out immediately. They did not all just wait at the foot of the mountain for the revelation to happen on the sixth day. Moshe went up immediately in order to already begin drawing out revelation from the first place. And that's what happened. Since Moshe came up, Hashem responded. Right? It says, I cry love Hashem in Ahar Lamar. As soon as Moshe headed up, Hashem called and said, here's what you should tell the Jewish people. Or Achaim says, this was Hashem's response to Moshe's step. Had Moshe not come up, Hashem wouldn't have said anything either. Would have waited the next day or 2 days later or for the day of Matan Torah. So that's when Hashem would have began his communication. Because Moshe came up, Hashem immediately responded by connecting, by communicating, and this was already part of the benefit that Moshe was bringing us in his very, very great historic role as the intermediary between us and Hashem. Okay, and we're going to see that theme a number of other times in the parasha. And now, we move on to the actual message that Hashem starts conveying to the Jewish people. Koisoima lebeis Yaakov v'saged levnei Yisrael. Here is what you should say to Beis Yaakov, and this is what you should tell to the Bnei Yisrael. So we are familiar with the drash of Chazal that they say that Beis Yaakov is referring to, right? Beis Yaakov. It's referring to the women. It's a softer approach. It's a softer approach. And Bnei Yisrael, which is referring to the men, is Sageid. The word Amira is a softer way of saying things than Haggadah. The Hagid can be harsher. He says you should say this to the women in a softer way and to the men in a harder way, in a harsher way. Now, what was said softer to the women and what was said harsher to the men? They actually both get the same message. Hashem doesn't give two messages. Hashem goes ahead and gives his message after this preface, and everyone's getting exactly the same message. There weren't two different messages given, a softer one and a harsher one. There's one message. So what's going on here? So the Or HaChaim says that what was going on here, really, when we say that the women should get a softer approach and the men a harsher approach, it's really representative. It's not women and men per se. It's people of different levels of sensitivity, of different levels of softness. Meaning, there are the people who have to hear a softer approach, and there are people who it's to their benefit to hear a harsher approach. And the Or HaChaim shows how in this single message, Hashem conveyed a message of softness, a message of love, and at the same time, he conveyed a stern, almost threatening message with the very same words, depending on who's hearing them. This we'll leave for next time. So we're going to keep it short tonight. We'll end here to give a few minutes to prepare for Rav Osher Weiss's shir. So good night. We'll end here, and we'll unmute, and we'll part.